Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
In your company, a challenge? Are you battling turnover and struggling to draw key talent? Is your team not performing at the level you want? Problems present themselves through conflict, miscommunication, creative differences, unclear expectations, and motivational issues. ARC Integrated is here to address these challenges through executive coaching and customized interactive trainings. Create lasting positive change that will improve your bottom line and create a culture that attracts talent and reduces turnover by going to arcintegrated.com. That's arcintegrated.com.
What if investing in each other could change the world? I'm Joel Skeen with BizRadio.us, and this is the Mindful Marketplace. Welcome back to part two of our discussion with Julie Weirich, who is a sustainable investment consultant and counselor who helps companies and people put their money towards investing in sustainability, investing in green projects, and investing in companies that are treating the environment right, treating their society right, and treating their internal company and their people right as well. So really excited to get to dig back in with her. I do want to give a couple quick announcements in case you have not heard already. We are now doing a monthly event series that is happening each and every month, both in person and virtually. In person here in Asheville, North Carolina, and we're streaming it out virtually, and it's called the Community Financial Education Course. This is a free event. The in-person does have some limited space, so we require registration up on my website, which is mindfulmarketplaceshow.com. But each and every month, we're bringing you a variety of financial professionals who are going to help teach on a lot of different topics that they really should have taught us in school. Things like budgeting, finances, around, you know, financial literacy, taxes, debt strategies, entrepreneurship. Really the things that we, like I said, should have been taught, but never really were. This is an opportunity for us to get together for free, build some community, and really learn about these things from all these different experts, and also do some Q&A panel, which I find to be particularly helpful. So you can bring your specific situation and get some feedback from a whole panel of financial experts. We are also now having a Slack channel that is up on my website, Mindful Marketplace Show, that you can join. If you like what we talk about here, you want to be plugged into the community, you want to have more updates about the events and those episodes, please join that channel on mindfulmarketplaceshow.com and get to know me, get to know the other guests that have been on the show, get to know the other speakers at our events. Also, we now are all up on all of the streaming platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. So please subscribe and like us there. That is the best way to help support the show. So yeah, let's get back into a conversation with Julie. If you missed the first episode, go back and take a listen. But we talked a little bit about her upbringing up in the great state of Alaska, about her journey into kind of understanding why putting her life's work into sustainable investing was going to be important for her, and a little bit about what ESG is. So if you did not listen to that episode, go ahead back and listen to the episode from last week with Julie. But I'm going to invite her right back into the conversation now and stop telling her story for her. Julie, thanks and welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So to give a quick recap, you had talked about how, you know, after the pandemic, you had kind of decided to go back to your roots of your love for the environment and your love for, management and really stewardship of the environment. I want to, if you could share with the audience a little bit about kind of what the process you had to go through to get from where this was, you know, an idea in your head to be working in sustainable investing to the point where you are now.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I started out with a Bachelor of Science in Business, and I had been working for about 7 years as a business consultant. So transitioning to ESG consulting specifically, I did have to focus on, where to go from there? You know, how do you just specialize in ESG consulting? And, you know, that was when I was introduced to the frameworks and standards that are used for ESG reporting, which are like the Global Reporting Initiative, the GRI that I mentioned before, and the SASB, the Sustainability Accounting Standards Board, which are two of like, kind of like the go-to, I guess, you know, for corporate reporting. And I decided I wanted to specialize in the reporting side of, you know, being an ESG consultant, because that's where, well, it's kind of where all the information coalesces. I mean, it gets together. Mm-hmm. It requires, you know, a lot of personal relationship management with, trying to extract the information from the companies, give them the assurance that it's going into the report. This is how it's going to be presented. This is why it needs to be in the report. You know, a lot of education, and it was, leaned on the same kind of skills that I had, in just regular business consulting, except that it was focused specifically on, ESG reporting. So that part was an easy transition. And then during that time, I became familiar with, SASB, which is more of an investor focused type of reporting. And that's kind of what opened the gate for me, kind of. Soon after that, I got what is called a Chartered Socially Responsible Investment Counselor. They call it a CSRIC. It's a kind of course that you can take that kind of introduces you to, SRI investing, and, the importance of the history, portfolio management, just kind of a little tidbit of everything. And that was really when I was like, okay, this is really what I've been looking for, and decided to transition fully. So
what was it about it that you were like, yeah, this is it?
Well, it's the fact that you're working with investors, one-on-one, and there's the educational factor, and it's not this business structure of being an ESG consultant where you are working with people on teams that are, told that they need to get this report together. And, many times they're dispersed teams. So they're like in many different places. It's a lot of herding cats. I'll just say that. I appreciate more like the quality of the work. And that's why I was drawn to work more with like individuals and educating them about, the ESG type topics, and then, helping illustrate and report on, the types of investments they could make and the benefits that they could get from those.
You know, the ESG has been it depends on what part of the news you're paying attention to. Probably most people haven't seen a ton of information about it, maybe have never even heard it, but it is getting some attention, where there's actually people who are kind of pushing back on the idea of people trying to put their money towards companies and businesses that align not only with, them being able to make a profit, but that also align with their values around the environment, around sustainability, and around governance. You mentioned in your journey that you got to a point where you were feeling a little, disillusioned by the process, and, things were a little bit more complicated and more difficult than, you had imagined going in. Talk to me a little bit about that. What was that experience like for you?
Oh, well, transitioning was actually kind of a natural thing. I feel like it, instead of fighting, pushing a ball uphill, kind of, which is what ESG consulting kind of felt like. It's a very, it's an interesting industry. We'll just say that. I don't want to say too much about it, but it's interesting in that I find that my energy and my efforts and, my values would probably be better suited working with people who are already on the path of like, hey, I want to learn about ESG. Hey, I'm interested in impact investing because I love the ocean. Like things like this, where people are already on the path instead of being like, for instance, beating your head on the wall with, people in projects and things that where they don't understand what's going on and they don't really care. And I'm not saying not all of them weren't like that. And a lot of people do care, and a lot of businesses genuinely do want to make a difference and stuff. But just for me personally, I think I'm more suited for embracing the people who are on the path already and taking them to the next step than, working in the mines, so to speak.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. There comes a point in every business, whether you're, obviously in every business, someone's selling something. That's kind of the whole point of it. And one of my mentors, I remember, taught me, he said, I think it's actually a quote of, I don't remember who it's by, but it was a suffragist who said, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And sometimes it's better, as you said, to work with the people that want to work with you rather than trying to, you know, kind of convince the haters or whatever you want to call them out there about it.
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, and that kind of goes into what you were saying about, you know, I hear occasionally about the pushback, but I have absolutely no interest in even giving it one ounce of attention because there are too many people, if you think about it, who are hungry to invest in things that impact the world positively, that just to even give the negative people, you know, energy just doesn't even make sense. Like, there are too many people who are just like, biting at the chomp, kind of, so to speak, I guess, mm-hmm. like wanting to invest sustainably. They want to know about these things. They want their money to benefit society. They want it to help the environment. They want to stop climate change. Like, those are the people that are, you know, if you can help them get to where they need to go, that makes change. Not the people who just start rumors online and don't want to change the business as usual. That's just old school. That's just, yeah, not even worth attention.
yeah. There's a certain level of reactionary, you know, talk that isn't even worth, you know, kind of engaging with. I think you're absolutely right. So what are you working on now? What is it that you are most focused on in your efforts at this point?
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to say that since our last conversation, I am now working for an awesome independent fee-only advisor out of California. It's called Transformative Wealth Management. And my boss named Alan Moskowitz, who's a really cool boss. He's awesome. He's been an ESG and values-based, you know, investing pioneer for like over 25 years. He does everything from, you know, financial planning, wealth management, and values-based investing is his like focus. So I'm super, super fortunate to be able to like, you know, be working with him right now. And I also found out more recently that he's actually quite the climate activist as well. So we both really get along in the fact that there's urgency in our work, you know, and I finally feel like I've found like a kindred spirit in that way, you know? Mm-hmm. Right now we're actually focused on creating, you know, educational resources and presentations that, you know, illustrate the benefits of sustainable investing, but as well as like larger interconnected topics like climate change and banking, which kind of hit on what you were talking about, your conversation with Angela Barbash, because mm-hmm. the name of this newest presentation is called Divest and Reinvest for Transformation. And it's essentially like a fun and informative guide to helping people transition from banking with banks that invest in fossil fuel production and, you know, tells why it's important to do that if you believe in climate change. But also, you know, it just basically goes to show like if a larger group of people, you know, divested from banks that support the fossil fuel industry and switch to other banks, including the community banks and credit unions that you spoke of with Angela, this could be like a catalyst for real revolutionary change for people to take back the reins and accelerate the transition to a greener, more sustainable world. So that's the essence of the presentation. But the goal essentially isn't to shame anyone for the bank that they currently use, because you know, even I'm using one that's not cool right now, and I'm mm-hmm. working on transitioning myself. But it's just to give people the resources and empowerment that they need to make the switch for the better. And you know, I know that climate change is a huge threat to human existence, and I know that how we deal with it now will decide basically if we have a future at all as a species. So, understandably, I don't want to add fuel to the fire, you know, that would accelerate the total ecosystem collapse. And that's why, you know, I'm on board with not only making this presentation, but, you know, making the changes that it recommends too. So,
yeah, I'm glad you brought up the, the kind of where you put your money. It's not even just in your investment dollars for your retirement. Although, you know, as I talked about with Angela Barbash, and please go back and listen to that if you haven't, we talked about how in Michael Schumann's book, he talked about the fact that if 60% of people's retirement money would be transferred from Wall Street to Main Street, which would take some doing, there's definitely some obstacles and some hurdles to making that happen. But if we could transfer just a little bit over half of the money that people are investing monthly on for their retirement into the local economies, that would actually have an impact where if you have a 10,000 person city, it would give $1 billion of investment money into that town. If you had a small city about the size of Asheville, about 100,000, you'd be looking at, you know, $10 billion being able to be invested. I can't think of a government program or of a foundation out there that's going to be able to invest, you know, $1 billion into a very small city and in, you know, $10 billion into, you know, a medium sized one like the one we have here. And the banks are a big part of that. You know, we're actually going to have on a community outreach director from Self-Help Credit Union soon to talk more about that, about how putting your money into a local credit union really changes things for what happens to your money that you have saved, nice, compared to when you use a big bank. But I wanted to, you know, kind of ask you too about, you know, in the work that you're doing moving forward, what are you most excited about? What are the things you're seeing happening that are moving us in the right direction that fires you up the most?
Yeah. Well, specifically in the area of sustainability and impact investing, I'm personally, maybe secretly, I guess, really excited about the large wealth transfer that's going to be happening from baby boomers to millennials now and for the next 7 years. I guess, you know, I just feel like people might underestimate the changes that this alone could bring, but also people get so caught up in living, they forget, yeah, it's time to hand over the baton, you know, we'll take it from here. And that's my generation and the generations after me. So I think it's just kind of a big deal. And I think it's going to have more influence on the market and economy than people in general realize. But I know that there's that fundamental value shift that's going to be playing itself out too, and that, you know, newer generations are more keen to SRI and, you know, ESG and impact investing, and they're going to help us transition from the business as usual mindset to a more radical sustainability, mm-hmm, you know, and from that shareholder to stakeholder theory, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. And then not secretly, I guess, you know, more publicly, I'm excited about, you know, online tools like Your Stake and Ethos ESG. These, if you know, I'd love to add a link, you know, in the, mm-hmm, you know, at the end of this for anybody who's interested, but these are really cool tools that basically help synthesize information for, you know, sustainable, responsible and impact investing advisors and wealth and asset managers. They help advisors align their investments with, you know, their values and investors with their values. They help with all the heavy lifting involved in the ESG research of funds and investments. So, and I'll give you an example because, yeah, it's pretty cool. So I think essentially the tools like these will just, they help transform impact investing, making it more accessible, more transparent, just more understandable. And making it, you know, essentially more effective. You know, to give you an example, Your Stake can generate reports that literally calculate the impact made by a specific investment, which I think is crazy, but really cool. So for instance, investing in like a vegan fund, let's say, can tell you how many fewer chickens, cows, and pigs have been killed because of that investment. Isn't that crazy? That, yeah. I just think that's awesome. And it helps people know and see what their investment is doing. And I think that's really, really cool.
Well, just that transparency, I think, is just great regardless of the type of investment. You know, I mean, how often do you actually get that kind of detail and that kind of transparency on what your money is doing on Wall Street, you know?
Right. And I guess on the other flip side, so what I'm excited about with just ESG, you know, and sustainability in general, not related to investing, but, you know, maybe more common stuff, but like, you know, the plant-based protein movement. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm a super advocate for plant-based protein. Like, when anyone asks me, like, hey, what's the one thing I can do to become more sustainable, high-impact thing I can do, you know, something that really makes a difference. And I just say, hey, switch out your animal meat for plant-based protein, you know. And for people who've never tried it, I'm like, hey, well, don't be scared. At least try it. Switch out one meal, you know, see how it tastes. Like, at least dip your foot in. You know what I mean? Like, don't knock it till you try it, you know. And I think, you know, I mean, there's three top, you know, brands that I like as far as these, you know, plant-based proteins go. And one is like all corn products, spelled Q-U-O-R-N. I don't know if you've tried them before, but they're absolutely amazing.
No, I haven't.
They're made from mycoprotein. So it's, you can season it yourself. It's like just really good. Not like breaded and tons of oils and stuff. It's just like, it's all good stuff. Then the second would be Impossible and Beyond Meats. They're tied because they're super yummy. I mean, they're, yeah, for typical meat lovers or whatever, that would be the go-to that you'd want to try first, you know, that. And then Gardein. But those, you know, some of the other ones are more like they're soy-based and pea protein-based. So they have a mix of different things. But the mycoprotein, that's my all-time favorite.
Yeah, I was actually just talking with my wife the other day about how it wouldn't shock us if in 10, 15 years from now that the majority of, you know, the protein we get doesn't have to come from, you know, farming as many, over farming, I'll say, and factory farming. You know, like there's a lot of good local CSA farms. Like we had Jamie Ager from Hickory Nut Gap on here recently. They do a meat CSA and they're, you know, they just do an awesome job with their sustainability and their practices around their animals. And I love supporting them. But man, I tell you, it's exciting to know that we could, through the development of these technologies, eliminate something that's really just not good for the environment and it's not good for our health. And it's just, you know, it really becomes a problem on a lot of levels. You know, in wrapping up here, I do want to make sure that people know kind of where they can find you and how you may be able to help folks out there invest their money more sustainably. Where can people get in touch with you and get connected?
Gosh, well, you're welcome to reach out to me on my LinkedIn, which, you know, Joel, you can provide the link there. And my work, Transformative Wealth Management, you know, we do all sorts of like outreach and educational things. And, you know, so yeah, those are two good places.
Yeah, that's good. That's a great place to get started. Thank you out there so much for listening in today. And thank you, Julie, for being on the show. Again, as always, you can listen to this episode as well as others. And please listen to the other guests on the on Biz Radio US. There's so many good ones, from Alex Cardona to Veronica Edwards to Ryan Marshall to Tor to, I mean, I'm going to Johanna, and I'm going to start, I should stop naming names, but so many good shows out there for you to listen to. We are all entrepreneurs all the time here on Biz Radio US. And please go to mindfulmarketplaceshow.com, where you can get registered for the next Mindful Marketplace meetup with a community financial education course, join our Slack channel, listen to all the episodes. And if you are interested in helping yourself or someone you know get out of debt without having to spend more money, we do have information on how to do that as well on the website. So until next time, thanks again, Julie, for joining us here. We really appreciate it. Love this conversation. And until next time, take care of yourself and take care of someone else.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.